we do not have an opportunity to read our consecutive reading in the morning. We like to follow it at night. And so we want to turn to the 22nd chapter of Numbers. Numbers 22. Before we read it, however, I would just like to call your attention to the last verses of 21. We read them yesterday. I'd like to call your attention to them because they contain something that is a very, very important truth. Joshua, the 21st chapter, and the last three verses, we read, "And the Lord gave unto Israel all the land which he sware to give unto their fathers, and they possessed and dwelt therein." And then we do not need for our purposes to read the 44th. But in the 45th, "There failed not aught of any good thing which the Lord had spoken unto the house of Israel. All came to pass." There is a teaching abroad that the Jews never possessed the land that the Lord promised to Abraham, and that they have to yet possess it because God, the promise that God made to Abraham has never been fulfilled. Now, this passage of Scripture, people who take that position, either they don't know the Bible, or else they willfully refuse to accept what the Bible says. But the word of God says, "The Lord gave unto Israel all the land which he sware to give unto their fathers, and they possessed it and dwelt therein." You have a similar verse given later on in the life of David and his kingdom, how the children of Israel possessed all the land that was sworn unto their father Abraham. You know, it makes a great deal of difference in your understanding of the Bible and your interpretation of the Bible whether you accept what the Lord says has been fulfilled, or whether you still look for something to be fulfilled that has already been fulfilled. Now, it's a very important thing that we know exactly the Word of God and what God says has been fulfilled. And then when we get all of that taken care of, as it were, and the decks cleared, then we can know what is yet to be fulfilled. And I just call your attention to this in passing, because it is something that is very fundamental in the interpretation of prophecy and in understanding God's dealings with his people. I won't pursue that thought any further, but we'll read the 22nd chapter. All right, go ahead.
I'll read two, and then if the group here to my right will read three all together and slowly, and then the group in the middle can read through, and then the group to the left, read three, excuse me, and the group to the left here can read three all together. We'll go around that way. All right, see how we do. "And the children of Israel set forward and pitched..."
22nd chapter,
excuse me. Did you want the book of Joshua? You said Numbers.
Oh, did I? I'm
yes.
Sorry.
Okay, that's what I thought. I'm happy
that's,
about that.
That's certainly a big slip of my tongue.
Yeah, Joshua, the 22nd chapter. All right. "Then Joshua called the Reubenites and the Gadites and the half-tribe of Manasseh and said unto them, Ye have kept all that Moses, the servant of the Lord, commanded you, and have obeyed my voice in all that I commanded you.
Ye have not left your brethren these many days unto this day, but have kept the charge of the commandments of the Lord your God. And now the Lord your God hath given rest unto your brethren, as he promised them. Therefore now return ye, and get you unto your tents, and unto the land of your possessions, which Moses the servant of the Lord gave you on the other side of Jordan. But take diligent heed to do the commandment and the law, which Moses the servant of the Lord charged you, to love the Lord your God, and to walk in all his ways, and to keep his commandments, and to cleave unto him, and to serve him with all your heart and with all your soul.
So Joshua blessed them and sent them away, and they went unto their tents. Now to the one half of the tribe of Manasseh, Moses had given possession in Bashan, but unto the other half thereof gave Joshua among their brethren on this side Jordan westward. And when Joshua sent them away also unto their tents, then he blessed them. And he spake unto them, saying, Return with much riches unto your tents, and with very much cattle, with silver, and with gold, and with brass, and with iron, and with very much raiment. Divide the spoil of your enemies with your brethren.
And the children of Reuben, and the children of Gad, and the half-tribe of Manasseh returned, and depart from the children of Israel, out of Shiloh, which is in the land of Canaan, to go on to the country of Gilead, to the land of their possession, whereof they were possessed, according to the word of the Lord by the hand of Moses.
And when they came unto the borders of Jordan, and out of the land of Canaan, the children of Reuben, and the children of Gad, and the half tribe of Manasseh, built there an altar by Jordan, a great altar to see to. And the children of Israel heard us say, Behold, the children of Reuben, and the children of Gad, and the half tribe of Manasseh, have built an altar over against the land of Canaan, in the borders of Jordan, and at the passage of the children of Israel.
And when the children of Israel heard of it, the whole congregation of the children of Israel gathered themselves together at Shiloh to go up to war against them. And the children of Israel sent unto the children of Reuben, and to the children of Gad, and to the half-tribe of Manasseh, into the land of Gilead, Phinehas the son of Eleazar the priest.
And with him 10 princes of each chief house, a prince throughout all of the tribes of Israel. And each one was a head of the house of their fathers among the thousands of Israel. And they came unto the children of Reuben, and to the children of Gad, and to the half-tribe of Manasseh, unto the land of Gilead. And they spake with them, saying, Thus saith the whole congregation of the Lord, What trespass is this that ye have committed against the God of Israel, to turn away this day from following the Lord, in that ye have builded you an altar, that ye might rebel this day against the Lord?
Is the iniquity of the earth too little for us, from which we are not cleansed until this day? Although there was a plague in the congregation of the Lord, but that ye must turn away this day from following the Lord. And it will be, seeing ye rebel today against the Lord, that tomorrow he will be wroth with the whole congregation of Israel. Notwithstanding, if the land of your possession be unclean, then pass ye over unto the land of the possession of the Lord, wherein the Lord's tabernacle dwelleth, and take possession among us, but rebel not against the Lord, nor rebel against us, in building you an altar beside the altar of the Lord our God.
Did not Achan, the son of Zerah, commit a trespass to the accursed name, and the wrath fell on all the congregation of Israel? And that man perished not alone in his iniquity. And the children of Reuben, and the children of Gad, and the half tribe
wilderness, the Lord God of hosts, the Lord God of hosts, the Lord and Israel ye shall know. If it be rebellion, or if it be transgression against the Lord, save us not this day.
That we have built us an altar to turn from following the Lord, or if to offer thereon burnt offerings or meat offerings, or if to offer peace offerings thereon, let the Lord himself require it. And if we have not rather done it for fear of this thing, saying, in time to come your children might speak unto our children, saying, what have ye to do with the Lord God of Israel?
For the Lord hath made Jordan a border between us and you, ye children of Reuben and children of Gad. Ye have no part in the Lord. So shall your children make our children cease from fearing the Lord. Therefore we said, let us now prepare to build us an altar, not for burnt offering nor for sacrifice, but that it may be a witness between us and you, and our generations after us, that we might do the service of the Lord before him with our burnt offerings, and with our sacrifices, and with our peace offerings, that your children may not say to our children in time to come, ye have no part in the Lord.
Therefore said we, that it shall be, when they should say to the things of us, or to our generations in time to come, that we may say again, behold the pattern of the altar of the Lord, which our fathers made, not for burnt offerings, nor for sacrifices, but it is a witness between us and you. God forbid that we should rebel against the Lord, and turn this day from following the Lord, to build an altar for burnt offerings, for meat offerings, or for sacrifices, beside the altar of the Lord our God, that is before the tabernacle.
And when Phinehas the priest, and the princes of the congregation, and the heads of the thousands of Israel, which were with him, heard the words that the children of Reuben, and the children of Gad, and the children of Manasseh spake, it pleased them.
And Phinehas, the son of Eleazar the priest, said unto the children of Reuben, and to the children of Gad, and to the children of Manasseh, this day we perceive that the Lord is among us, because ye have not committed the trespass against the Lord. Now he hath delivered the children of Israel out of the hand of the Lord. And Phinehas, the son of Eleazar the priest, and the princes, had turned from the children of Reuben, and from the children of Gad, out of the land of Gilead, unto the land of Canaan, to the children of Israel, and brought them word again. And the thing pleased the children of Israel, and the children of Israel blessed God, and did not intend to go up against them in battle, to destroy the land where the children of Reuben and Gad dwelt.
Let's read the last all together.
And the children of Reuben and the children of Gad call the altar end, for it shall be a witness between us that the Lord is God.
Now, why did the Lord give us this chapter? There's a very definite reason. All Scripture is given by inspiration and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, truly furnished unto every good work.
We should not listen to hear say. We heard say.
That's, I think, the key of the lesson that at the 11th verse. And the children of Israel heard say. The children of Israel heard say. How much havoc is wrought by hearsay? How much misunderstanding? How much sorrow? How much trouble is caused by hearsay? The children of Israel heard say. Somebody spread a rumor. Somebody said, you know, what's happening over there? And it's, of course, a very excellent illustration of judging. Judge not that ye be not judged. My, just see how the people were all agog. Wow. And when the children of Israel heard of it, the whole congregation of the children of Israel gathered themselves together at Shiloh to go up to war against them. They were really going to kick up a fuss and have a real fight. Now, of course, from one standpoint, it's good that they were wanting to defend the right and that they were wanting to punish the wrong. That was, in a sense, that was a good, but the whole thing was based on heard say. And it was certainly wise that they decided to send some investigators to see what the story really was, or really is. My, oh my. Last week, I heard say, and I could have said, I knew that it wasn't right, and then I had an opportunity to get it completely confirmed that it wasn't right, what was reported at all, nothing here at camp whatsoever. I hear say lots of things from lots of other parts of the world. But you have to be very careful with reports that are given to you. Is that exactly what was said? Is that exactly what was done? And we need to, in a place like this, be mighty careful what we repeat. What we listen to and how we act upon what we listen to. A heard say. It's too sad and too bad that oftentimes when you hear something or when people hear something, that they don't stop and scratch their heads and say, now listen, is that really the way that person would act? Is that really the way? Now, I've known that person 25 years. Is that the way that they would act? And sometimes it's so out of character. And we need to be mighty careful about rumors, about gossip, about reports. We need to be careful, and we ought to say, now listen, is that really so? Is that really so? My, that that doesn't really sound right. I'm going to investigate. I'm going to find out. I'm going to see what is the explanation of that action. We need to have this caution. We need to have this habit. We need to be very careful. And oh, so oftentimes, misunderstanding can arise that's, it can have devastating effects. Now, supposing the children of Israel hadn't had some leaders who decided to investigate, why, they could have brought all kinds of sorrow and all kinds of havoc. Now, we know that those 2.5 tribes had asked if they could have their portion on the other side of Jordan. And Moses had said they could. That was all right in keeping with the will of God. But he said, you can have it only on one condition, that you'll go over and help to subdue the land, and that you will fight with and for your brethren. And so they said, yes, we'll do that. And we'll leave our wives and our children and our cattle and all of our substance over here, and we'll go over, and we'll help to fight for the land. Now, Josephus gives us some figures, and for want of better figures, I think he's probably on the right track. He indicates that it took about 5 years to subdue the land. Now, I don't doubt but what the husbands and fathers took a trip back and forth once in a while to see how the folks were getting along on the other side. But the 2.5 tribes, the armies of the 2.5 tribes, they stuck it out, and probably it took about 5 years. After all, it was quite a job that was done in subduing the land. And here these people were willing to sacrifice, and they did it gladly, and they helped their brethren. And then they went back with the blessing of Joshua, and of course the warning of Joshua, now to be, you be sure to love the Lord your God and to walk in all his ways and to keep his commandments and to cleave unto him and to serve him with all your heart and all with all your soul. So Joshua blessed them and sent them away, and they went unto their tents. But after all their kindness, and after all that they had done, then they did something that was misunderstood. Now, perhaps it was unwise, and perhaps they should have explained it. That would undoubtedly have been the diplomatic thing to have done, but they didn't. And how often we do things that aren't diplomatic. Hindsight is so better than foresight, and we often say, well, now if I wish I had thought to say that, I wish I had thought to explain that, I wish I had thought to, you can do things so thoughtlessly, very thoughtlessly, and sometimes with very well-meaning. I think of a time in my life when I did something that I meant it well. I wasn't in any sense of the word. I really was thinking that I was doing right and helping the cause along. And then afterward, as time went on, it developed that I had done something that was really undiplomatic and unwise, and if I had explained something, why, all kinds of trouble could have been avoided and misunderstanding. Thank God the Lord undertook over the whole situation, just like he did over this, and straightened the matter out very beautifully, although it took quite a little time, but we're all subject to doing something like that sometime or other. And therefore, we ought to realize that other people will do things too unwittingly, and we ought to be very ready to show mercy ourselves. But it is so important, and I'm sure that the Lord has put this chapter in the Bible purposely to warn us to be careful about hearsay. What's this rumor? What is this idea that's floating around now? And we ought to be willing to investigate and to hold our tongue until we investigate. And I know sometimes we get rumors from people that we love and that we respect and that we think highly of, and they mean well. They don't mean anything wrong by what they have done. And because we respect them so, why, we just say, why, that's absolutely right. We're not taking words. I'm talking about taking words from people that we respect. And they may have given us an incorrect report. There's something else that we need to be very careful about, and that is at jumping at conclusions, apart from hearsay. Oftentimes, and especially in a place like Pilgrim Camp, you can jump at conclusions. And I don't know, I've had so many jumps at conclusions that were wrong. And I knew that they were, I'm talking about throughout the years. And those things can be injurious, especially in a family like this. And we need to be exercised great caution and to use wisdom and not to imagine things, not to imagine where people have gone. Oh, I saw him go. I suppose he's he's up there, or he's down there. I've had such flat-footed statements given to me oftentimes. Why, so-and-so, I've asked a question, why, he's there, she's there. No such a thing at all. The person is just imagined and guessed at. Well, that isn't so serious, the illustration that I've used, that isn't serious in itself. But other things can be serious. You will jump at conclusions as to their motives and what they're doing and why they're doing it and so on. Guessing. And we need to be careful how in churches and in homes and camps and just our private lives, we need to be very, very careful. Very careful. And if we are, why, thing it'll be for peace. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Now, it's true. They made an altar that had the appearance of the altar that was before the Lord. And, it was easy to say, yeah, why would they make an altar like this altar for? Why didn't they make a different kind of an altar? And they just guessed that all the wisdom and the bloodshed that was saved because somebody had sense enough to say, let's investigate before we punish. of course, there's another side to the story, too. People are so quick to execute judgment. And they're not... they're apt to do the same thing themselves. Or worse, when you stop to think of the book of Judges and what happened in a comparatively few years, why, you see that the children of Israel who were so quick at this time to wield the sword and punish those who weren't just viewing the mark, why, they fell into idolatry themselves very quickly. Oh, how quickly people are ready to punish other people, but they don't realize. You know, the Bible says, ye which are spiritual, restore such an one. Brethren, if a brother be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such an one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. And we need to realize that we're all made of the same stuff. And but for the grace of God, there go I. Maybe God in his great mercy has kept us. And we ought to be very thankful. But when we come across our brother who may have fallen, we need to restore him, not in a self-righteous attitude, but in a spirit of meekness, considering ourselves, lest we also be tempted. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Judge not that ye be not judged. For with what judgment thou judgest, thou shalt be judged. The Apostle Paul speaks about the fact that wherein thou judgest, thou doest the same thing thyself. How often we've seen that to be verified. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Now this may not need to be such a spiritual teaching. But after all, it's directly connected with love, isn't it? And it's a part of the love of God.
Yes.
Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Amen.
Father in heaven, we pray thee that you'll make us quick to hear, slow to anger, and plenteous in mercy. Oh God.
Hallelujah.
Slow to wrath. God help us. We know, Lord, that we're so apt to be quick to wrath, naturally speaking.
Yes.
But let us so be filled with the love of God,
dear Lord,
that we will be slow to wrath. And then when we have to execute judgment or punishment, that we may do it in a spirit of meekness. For your great name.